Which one is on the board?
13B.
13, okay. So I'll just begin with the other two verses, and then we can chant responsibly. Katam priyaya unakampitaya sangam rahasyam rushidamsh mantram suhritsu tatsnehasita shishunam kalakshananam anurakta chitta putran smarams cha duhitri hridaya bhratrim swasri dva pitarau chadinao krihan manopnyoru parichadamscha vrittischa kulyah pashubhritya vargan. So please repeat. Tyajeta koshaskrita eva ihamanaha karmani lobhat avitripta kamaha opascha jaiham bohumanyanaha katham virajyeta durantam त्यजेत कोशस्त्रिदेहमानाः कर्माणि लोभाद वितृप्त कामः औपस्थ्य जैह्वं बहुमन्यमानः कथं विरज्येत दुरन्तमोहः त्यजेत कोशस्कृतिदेहमानः कर्माणि लोभाद वितृप्त कामः औपस्थ्य जिह्वं बहुमन्यमानः कथं विरज्येत दुरन्तमोहः त्यजेत कोशस्कृतिवेहमानः कर्माणि लोभाद वितृप्त कामः औपस्थ्य जैह्वं बहुमन्यमानः कथं विरज्येत दुरन्तमोहः
त्यजेत कोशस्कृदिवेहमान कर्माणि लोभाद वितृप्त कामः औपस्थ्य जह्वं
बहुमन्यमानः
कथं विरज्येत दुरन्तमोहः
त्यजेत कोशस्कृत इवेहमानः कर्माणि लोभात वितृप्त कामः औपस्य जैह्वं
बहुमन्यमानः
कथं विरज्येत दुरन्तमोहः
त्यजेत कोशस्कृतिदेहमानः
कर्माणि लोभाद वितृप्त
कामः यजेत कोशस्कृतिदेहमानः
कर्माणि लोभाद वितृप्त कामः
औपस्थ्य जैह्वं बहुमन्यमानः
कथं विरज्येत दुरन्तमोहः
माताजी
यजेत कोशस्कृत एव मानः
यजेत कोशस्कृत एव मानः
कर्माणि लोभाद वितृप्त कामः कर्माणि लोभात् अवितृप्तकामः
जैवं बहुमन्यमानः
त्यजेत कैन गिव अप कोशः कृत द सिल्क वर्म इव Like, Ihamanah, performing, Karmani, different activities, Lobhat, because of insatiable desires, Avitriptakamah, whose increasing desires are not satisfied. Opasthya, pleasure from the genitals, jaihvam, and the tongue, bohumanyamanah, considering as very important, katham, how, manyamanah, I'm sorry. Virajyeta is able to give up. Durantamoha, being in great illusion. Translation, this is for all three verses. How can a person who is most affectionate to his family, the core of his heart being always filled with their pictures, give up their association? Specifically, a wife is always very kind and sympathetic and always pleases her husband in a solitary place. Who could give up the association of such a dear and affectionate wife? Small children talk in broken language, very pleasing to hear. And their affectionate father always thinks of their sweet words. How could he give up their association? One's elderly parents and one's sons and daughters are also very dear. A daughter is especially dear to her father. And while living at her husband's house, she is always in his mind. Who could give up that association? Aside from this, in household affairs, there are many decorated items of household furniture. And there are also animals and servants. Who could give up such comforts? The attached householder is like a silk worm, which weaves a cocoon in which it becomes imprisoned, unable to get out. Simply for the satisfaction of two important senses, the genitals and the tongue, one is bound by material conditions. How can one escape? Please repeat. How can a person, who is most affectionate to his family, the core of his art, being always filled with their pictures, give up their association? Specifically, a wife is always very kind and sympathetic and always pleases her husband in a solitary place. Who could give up the association of such a dear and affectionate wife?
wife.
Small children.
Small children.
Talk in broken language.
Talking broken language.
Very pleasing to hear.
Very pleasing to hear.
And their affectionate father.
And their affectionate father.
Always thinks of their sweet words.
Always thinks of their sweet words.
How could he give up their association?
How could he give up their association?
One's elderly parents.
One's elderly parents.
And one's sons and daughters.
And one's sons and daughters.
Are also very dear.
Are also very dear.
A daughter is especially dear to her father.
A daughter is especially dear to his father.
Her father.
Her father.
And while living at her husband's house, she was always in his mind.
She's always in his mind.
Who could give up that association?
Who could give up that association?
Aside from this, in household affairs, there are many decorated items.
There are many decorated items
of household furniture.
Of household furniture.
And there are also animals.
And there are also animals.
And servants.
And servants.
Who could give up such comfort?
Who could give up such comfort?
The attached householder.
The attached householder.
Is like a silkworm.
Is like a silkworm.
Which weaves a cocoon.
Which weaves a cocoon.
In which it becomes imprisoned.
In which it becomes imprisoned.
Unable to get out.
Unable to get out.
Simply for the satisfaction of two important senses.
Simply for the satisfaction of two important senses.
The genitals and the tongue.
The genitals and the tongue.
One is bound.
One is bound.
By material conditions.
By material conditions.
How can one escape?
How can one escape?
Report by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, savior of the modern world, and our only hope. Srila Prabhupada ki. In household affairs, the first attraction is the beautiful and pleasing wife, who increases household attraction more and more. One enjoys his wife with two prominent sense organs, namely the tongue and the genitals. The wife speaks very sweetly. This is certainly an attraction. Then she prepares very palatable foods to satisfy the tongue. And when the tongue is satisfied, one gains strength in the other sense organs, especially the genitals. Thus the wife gives pleasure in sexual intercourse. Household life means sex life. This is encouraged by the tongue. Then there are children. A baby gives pleasure by speaking sweet words in broken language. And when the sons and daughters are grown up, one becomes involved in their education and marriage. Then there are one's own father and mother to be taken care of. And one also becomes concerned with the social atmosphere and with pleasing his brothers and sisters. A man becomes increasingly entangled in household affairs, so much so that leaving them becomes almost impossible. Thus the household becomes Griham Andhakupam, a dark well into which the man has fallen. For such a man to get out is extremely difficult unless he is helped by a strong person, the spiritual master, who helps the fallen person with a strong rope of spiritual instructions. A fallen person should take advantage of this rope. And then the spiritual master, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, will take him out of the dark well. Om Jnanatimanantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare These three verses are grouped together. There's not really any verb until the text 13, which is on the board. You can't have a sentence without a verb. So the acharyas, Sridhar Swami in particular, has commented on this for us. He's asking the question, how is this so? How is it that one cannot give these things up? And so here he's giving some more examples, how the household life is exceedingly difficult to give up. And in particular, in the last text, he really drives it home, because he gives this example that an attached householder is exactly like a silkworm. How do you say silkworm in Tamil? Okay. In Sanskrit here it's called koshakrit. Koshakrit. He makes his own kosha. If you see the silk cocoon, it's shaped like a kosha. So these creatures, impelled by sex life, they eat something. They only live for about 6 to 8 weeks, actually. That's their whole life. And they spend a good deal of that time eating, constantly. And then, once they're full of mulberry leaves, or whatever they're eating, then they start to exude this substance that they can cover themselves with. But they don't build a door. So they can't get out. At least not as worms. Later on, and when they become moths, then they can break out. And then when they break out, what do they begin to do? Immediately upon getting out of the cocoon, they start to look for a mate. This is Sridhar Swami's analysis of the verse. So, therefore, he says here, Opaschem. And jaihvam, bahumanyamana. They consider as very important these things. Actually, this is the standard of measurement by which you judge what is superior and inferior in modern civilization. Not in real civilization, not at all. But in modern civilization, pseudo-civilization, ku-sanskriti, we can say, a perverted civilization. Everybody thinks that unless you can eat nicely and unless you're popular with the opposite sex, then there's no point. You're lost. Govinda. So, priyaya, priya, here, according to Srila Prabhupada, he makes it very clear. This doesn't just mean the dear ones in general, feminine gender. It means the wife in particular. Why is she dear? Anukampita. She's always very, Prabhupada says here, sympathetic. What does anukampa actually mean? Anukampa. What is bhukampa? Do you say this in Tamil?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when the earth trembles. So when you feel so much for another person that you tremble just by seeing that they're not happy, this is wife. Sympathetic or compassionate, you might say, also. So that's the first thing, and she speaks very pleasing words. This is the duty. And actually it's described, well, anyway. Sangam rahasyam rushidanshta mantran. In confidence, she speaks very pleasing words, and she also speaks good advice. This is something the husbands don't know because they never listen. Never. Almost never. Once in a while something gets in, but usually they don't listen. Especially if you have a wife who is always talk, 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 talk. Then it's just, how much can you listen? So, Ruchiranshta Mantran, Sridhar Swami says about this, that mantran hita shiksha alapan. Hita shiksha alapan. You understand these words. She says things that are actually to his benefit, and she gives instructions that are good instructions. In an ancient source, maybe from the 13th century, one author named Bhadrabhupala, he wrote what is called the Nitisara, good advice, the essence of good advice. And there he's talking about what are the qualifications of a good wife. Karyeshu dasi, karaneshu mantri, rupe cha lakshmi, bhojane cha mata, kshamye cha dharati, shayane cha vesya, shad dharma yukta, kula dharma patni. This is a very simple Sanskrit, you've already understood, some of you. In ordinary tasks that a husband has to perform, the wife is like a servant, dasi. In managing the household, and particularly in the accounts, everyone knows who does this? The women do this. Karaneshu mantri. And she's very expert because, well, she has a motivation. Rupe cha lakshmi. In beauty, she should be just like Lakshmi. Bhojane cha mata. In feeding, she should be like your mother. Kshamye cha dharati. In forgiveness, she should be just like the earth. How many things does the earth forgive? Just think about it. Yesterday I saw the crane had broken down, and there was a big pool of oil underneath the crane. So Mother Earth has to absorb this. Dharati. Why is she called Dharati? Because she bears it all. The end of the line in tolerance is the earth, because everything goes into the earth ultimately. And she puts up with it. Dharati. So, a wife should be like that. Actually, we find sometimes that infidelity, now it's very popular because India is undergoing a sexual revolution, much as the Western Hemisphere underwent maybe some 50 years ago or so. So, infidelity. If a wife is not chaste to the husband rarely forgives that. They won't put up with it. It's a fact. Most of the time they don't tolerate that. If a husband is unfaithful, the wife forgives. It's seen. This is not any kind of imperative or any kind of ideal. This is actually the fact. It's statistically shown. So, kshamye cha dharati. And shayane cha vesya. That's a surprising turn, isn't it? Shayane cha vesya. In private affairs, on the bed especially, a woman is like a harlot. Shad dharma yukta kula dharma patni. Kulakarma Patni. A well-bred woman has these qualifications. So who can give this up? This is the point. Then he says, Suhrit Sucha Sangam. Suhrit. Suhrit means those who love you. Those who really, Suhrit. There's one in North India, one Kabira has written one bhajan, Hindi man. He says, Sabha paise ke bhai. Sabha paise ke bhai. Everybody's just about money in this world. You know, he may be, you think he's a brother or a friend or a sister or an in-law, but they're all about money, my friend. Don't fool yourself, Kabir says. Dilaka. Nobody's with you at heart. This is the point. Koi nahi saathi. Dilka koi nahi saathi. Nobody really cares. But suhrit means somebody who actually does care. Sometimes it looks that way, at least. In our liberal moments, we will admit that there are family members who very, very much care for us. Until the inheritance time comes, then you see. Here it's stated, actually it's in the Sanskrit, it's stated, Pitarao cha dinao, Pitarao cha dinao. Why are the parents poor parents? It's understood, they're old parents. When your parents get old, nobody cares. No one cares. I know this from personal experience. My mother, when she was alone, father had already passed on, and my mother was old, she needed help. No one was ready to put aside their life. Nobody. But they were very keen on getting the power of attorney. You see? To control the estate. You see? It's you may find out by experience, or if you're in those circles, you will learn that it changes the entire dynamic of the family when there's a large inheritance at stake. You see, really, what is this brother, sister, everything? You see very clearly. So this is the point. Suhritsu, if somebody really does love you, and sometimes it happens, so-called love at least, then that sangam, who can give it up? Very rare. Hard to find. Tesham snehena sito baddha. The word sneha sita is used in this verse. Not in this verse, in text number 11. So he's glossing this. Snehina sita, in other words, baddha. He is bound by affection. Sneha. What does sneha mean? Sometimes people have the name, ladies have the name, sneha. What does it mean? Yeah, love, affection. Really, where does it come from? Snihyati. To be sticky. When you stick to someone. This is sneha. That's why the word is there. It comes from the verbal root. The tattoo is sneh, to adhere. Okay, so baddha, therefore he's attached. Because the nature of that sneha is adherence, to stick. Then, kalani. What does kala mean? Many things kala means, but in this case, kalani means these kinds of broken words that the children, when they talk, they don't really know how to say it yet, and it's very sweet to hear. Sometimes, when I was in college, I studied Braj Bhasha. That is the language of Vrindavan Dham. And that language is also a little bit like baby talk. It's very cute. Instead of saying Vrindavana, they will say Bindraban. Bindraban. This kind of thing. Or if you go to Giridhar, everybody knows when you want to get sown poverty, there's one store that you have to go to and go with them. It's called Giriraj. Not Giriraj, but Giriraj. This is Braj Bhasha. So baby talk is a little bit like that. It's very sweet to hear. And the children, especially because they're so cute, you can't take your eyes off them. Especially in the spiritual world. Therefore, he has this trick, Krishna. Jadu karata hai nandalala, the one song says. He knows how to perform magic. anyone will be attracted. How so? Pratasmarami dadhi ghosha. Pratasmarami dadhi ghosha vidhuta nidra. Early in the morning. Prataha means before sunrise. Vidhuta nidra. His sleep is broken. What is it that breaks his sleep? The sound of churning butter. When the gopis are churning butter, they're wearing these, I don't know what you call here in Tamil, churiyan, glass bangles. And they're jingling, so the kartals are already there. What needs to be added? Gunagan or Namakirtan. So they're churning butter for Krishna and they're chanting his names. And he hears this. This is what wakes him up in the morning. And he goes, oh, my gopis, they're making me some butter. So he goes to check it out. What's happening? Nidra vasana ramaniya mukharavindam. Nidra avasana, at the time of sleeping, or this not really sleeping, but just waking up. At that time, ramaniya mukharavinda. His face is too pleasing. It is too sweet. Ramaniya mukharavinda, like a lotus that is just beginning to bloom. The Braj poet Surdas has described this in one of his songs. When Yashoda is trying to put Krishna to sleep at night, he says, his eyes are like the closing petals of a day-blooming lotus. Most lotuses, they bloom during the day. When the sun goes down, they close up slowly. And similarly, at the end of the day, the eyes of Krishna, Kanhaya, they close very slowly. He's getting drowsy. And Yashoda can see this. And Surdas says, the pupils of his eyes, the little black part inside of your eyes, this looks like two bumblebees trapped in the closing petals of two lotus flowers. How beautiful poet he is. This is what it means to be a poet. And Maharaj was talking about the poets the other day, so I told him there's one famous doha that describes also. Sura sura tulasi sasi. Uru gana kesava das. Aaj ke kavi kharyotsama. Hirte asapas. That means that Sur Das is like the sun. Sur means sun. Tulasi is like Sasi, means the moon. Uru gana kesava das. All the stars put together, there are another poet whose name was Kesava Das. Parantu. Do you say Parantu in Tamil? No. Kintu. Do you say that? You don't say it. How do you say but? Okay. Totally nonsense critically. I'm out of my ocean. So, but today's poets, he says, they're just like fireflies. They buzz around for a few minutes and then they're gone. Or like silkworms, only last for a few weeks and then they're gone. So, then when Krishna wakes up the next morning, what is the analogy given there? Then the lotus flowers open up. And what happens? The little bees come buzzing out, very happy. And what do they do first thing? What are they looking for? Muda abhiri nari vadana kamala svada madhubaha. It is like a bee that wants to taste the nectar of the lotus face of each and every gopi. We are not our bodies in this world. In the spiritual world, you may be pleased to know, you are your body. And therefore, you have a unique beauty that you can offer to Krishna, and he can only get it from you. He cannot get it from anyone else. This is a great sense of self-esteem. We like to talk about self-esteem. This is a very popular concept because everybody has low self-esteem in this world because we're all trying to identify with this filthy bag of garbage. How could you not be embarrassed? Srila Prabhupada says this throughout his books. The great Maithili poet Vidyapati also says, Panaye Vidyapati Atishaya Katara. Do you have these words in Tamil? Atishaya katara? Hard to translate. Means he's exceedingly embarrassed with his condition. Ashamed of himself, actually. So this is natural, because we're in such a condition. I think it's Brihadaranyaka Upanishad describes that the sage Vamadev, Vamarishi, he once had a realization, oh my God, once I used to be Manu. Once I was the sun god. Look at me now. So, he opens his eyes, the little bees come buzzing out, and they search immediately for the honey of the lotus flowers, the nectar of the lotus flowers. That is the lotus faces of the gopis. This is Krishna's program. This is his only program. So, therefore his face is called Mukharavindam. His face is also like a lotus flower for his devotees. What is it? Nijavaya bhava bhakta bhogya. We have this, isn't it, in the Suprabhatam? Bhakta bhogya. He is enjoyable by his devotees. And nidravasana ramaniya mukharavindam. His face at the time when he's a little bit woozy, a little bit spaced out with sleep, that is the most enjoyable thing for the parents. Hridyana vadyavakusham. His form is entirely flawless. Nidravasana, Hridyana vadyavakusham, nayanabhiramam. And it is delight to the eyes. Unnidrapadmanayanam navanita choram. When the navanita chora steals his, when he wakes up in the morning, the thief of butter, how do you say, Benne. When he wakes up and opens his lotus-like eyes, it's like a blooming lotus flower. Unnitra padmanayanam navanita choram. So this is Krishna. So when he says something, then it's even more pleasing. And the devotee's heart is completely entranced by that broken speech. He comes and says, Amma, Inne! Who could not be attached to this? So the same principles that snare us in material existence, they will pull us out of material existence if we dive deep. Dive deep into which ocean? Not the ocean of bhava, some materialistic existence, bhavaushati. Instead, we have to dive into the bhakti rasamrita sindhu. Prabhupada said we should be like deep water fish. Here you don't have the ocean, but if anyone is from Chennai, you may know that the ocean is very vast, and the little fishies who are on the surface of the water, because it's nice warm water, just like the house is nice and comfortable, those fish, that they don't understand that there's this bird patrolling 20 feet above the water, and he's got very sharp eyesight, and as soon as he sees a little curious fish, whoom, he dives. And he grabs him in his beak and swallowed, finished. Before he knows what hit him, he's gone. So, bhakti rasamrita sindhu. If we dive into the ocean of bhakti, how do we do that? Jayato vishayam pungsa sangaste shupa jayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodho vijayate. This is confirmed in Brahma Samhita. Yam krodha kama sahaja pranayadi dhiti vatsalya moho guru gaurava sevya bhavaihi sanchinchitasya sadrishim tanam apur ete govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. When we take all of these things, we take our meditation, because we're always meditating. It's a fact. We're always meditating. The other day we heard, we are either meditating constantly on money, or we're meditating on the opposite sex, or we're meditating on lunch, or we're meditating on something. Always. That meditation is for Krishna. And when we take that meditation and engage it on Krishna's lotus feet, then we become free. Jayate vichaya pungsa, Sangha, that creates Sangha. That Sangha is very good Sangha, Satsangha. Then, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. That association that we have created with Krishna, that becomes the impetus for desiring to go back to Godhead. Okay, it's not enough anymore just to chant His holy name, just to come to the temple, just to read the Srimad Bhagavatam and talk to devotees about Him. It's not enough. I have to be there now. This desire will arise. Kamad krodho bhijayate. And as we said, when the adhikar is sufficient, then you can even become angry at Krishna. Yashoda does this. And he likes it. He likes that anger of his mother more than he likes the sonorous hymns of the Vedas offered by the Agata Brahmanas. And so, krodhad bhavati sammoha. This is our desire. We want to become sammohita. Here we're talking about durantamoha. It's in the verse. Durantamoha. Practically, it's very hard to find the end of this illusion. This is what it means. Duranta moha. It's like an ocean, as we said, fathomless. But the ocean of ecstasy and bewilderment in pure Krishna consciousness is even bigger than that. Why? Because it's constantly expanding. Anandam buddhivartanyam pratipadam purnamata svadanam saravatma snaparam param vijayate Sri Krishna sankirtanam. It is all affected through this chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I've digressed a little bit. We're talking about the broken speech of our own children. Back to earth. So this attachment, he says, no, nobody can give this up. Teshvanu raktam chittam yasya. It practically is impossible. Then he goes on. What's the next thing? Shashura grihe sthita taha. Taha. That means your daughter. When you get older and you get your daughter married, then even when she goes to the husband's house, you're still thinking. It's very difficult for parents. So that's also there. And what else? Hridaya means hridayangama. She becomes as if stuck to one's heart. Manognya. Manognya means charming. But what's charming here? He says, Parichada yeshu tan grihan. In the house we have so many accoutrements, we have so many comforts, we have so many furniture and a soft bed that we can take shelter of at the end of the day when we're tired, or a nice sitting place, nobody bothers you, you have some peace there, quiet. These, we call this in English, creature comforts. You don't really realize how attached you are to such things until you go to live at Govardhan Hill. Well, actually not anymore. It used to be austere. Now Govardhan is today what Vrindavan was 30 years ago. And Vrindavan is today what Delhi was 30 years ago. And Delhi is today what Los Angeles is today. So, when I was living at Govardhan maybe 10, 15 years ago, and it's very difficult. For a Westerner, at least. Maybe people, especially if you're from a village, then you're actually very fortunate. Because you don't have all this baggage of attachment to deal with. And that gets frustrated when it's taken away from you. I always wondered, when I first went to Rishikesha, Hardwar, it was in the spring, early spring. It was still pretty cold. There were still patches of snow on the ground. But I saw, this is many, many decades ago, that the people were walking around barefoot. And I thought, because I'm a practical American, why don't these people get some shoes? And then I was furthermore thinking, why is it that in the last 5,000 years it was never our priority for anyone to get some shoes? You know, we can think like this because we've been modernized and we have shoes now. But actually, this was never the priority of South Asian civilization. Creature comforts. Here the word is used, bohumanyamana. Bohumanyamana. They consider these things absolutely important, such that the question will arise in a demoniac mind, why don't these people get some shoes? You see? But actually, the way to live as a human being is very simply and without so much fuss. Simple living, high thinking. That we need to protect. It is the most valuable resource, human resource, that we have. Simple living and high thinking. Nowadays, everything is modernizing, and that means everything becomes very complex, everything becomes geared towards sense gratification. The high thinking is out the door. Nobody wants to be bothered by it. If you want proof, walk into your office on Monday morning and approach your boss and start reading to him from this purport and see what happens. So, creature comforts. And what does it mean other than the bed and the you know, sometimes we have the flat screen. I was in Tudor Chendur. In the Agraharam, all these lands were given to the Brahmanas to serve the deity in the temple there, big temple of Skanda. So, one of the relatives of my host was living in one of these places. And I came in and she showed me there, here's the altar and, you know, these are all the deities. And I asked, do you have deity of Krishna also? And she said, yes, yes. I couldn't see it. Where is Krishna? And she had to go and look for him. She found him in the closet. Krishna was in the closet. But the flat screen television, that was front and center in the living room. And it was constantly broadcasting the latest Bhagavas from Bollywood. How do you say Bhagavas in Tamil? Nonsense. So this is the problem with modern life. This is what happens when we become so-called normal in modern life. This is what we turn into monsters. We put Krishna in the closet and we fill our heads with our next life. The samskars that will produce that life. And I hope you've done something pious because it doesn't require a human birth in order to enjoy those kinds of things. What kinds of things? Here it's stated very graphically. Opasthya jayivam sukham. The pleasure of the tongue and the pleasure of the genital. We hear from Rupa Goswami about this. Vacho vegam manasakrodha vegam jihva vegam udropastha vegam etan vegan yo vishaheta dhira vishaheta. What does it mean? You tolerate. Just like a dog barking, nobody gets bent out of shape when a dog is barking. You tolerate. Or, you know, for the last few days, the Mariamman temple is broadcasting all kinds of... People are screaming about Maya in pure enthusiasm. I thought, how much chili do these people eat that they can go that fast at 6 o'clock in the morning? And they're all singing about Maya. They're completely fired up about sense gratification. And they finally found some deity who can give them everything that they want. Anyway, at least they're doing something pious. I'm not going to criticize. But in general, the mindset is just, it's just steered into this trajectory that you're going to go for sense gratification. And what's that going to result in the future? Pasu. Pashu doesn't mean pashu in Tamil. How do you say animal in general? Do you have a word? Mriga. So same thing. You're lucky if you can become a pasu. Especially if you become a pasu in Vrindavan. There's one cow that lives across from me. Her name is Saraswati. Saraswati the cow. And this cow is the only cow in the MVT complex in Vrindavan. And that means everybody who lives there comes and feeds this one cow. She's a very fat cow. And it's not because of eating plastic bags. She's become spoiled with all the attention that she gets. She will only eat roti. If you bring anything else, she doesn't want it. She's very selective. You know cows, they can be stubborn. So she's very selective and she'll only eat roti. She wants, forget about the grass, she wants a high-carb diet. So I was thinking about this cow that, you know, sometimes we hear in the Shastra, somebody has, if you recite this stotra, then you get all material sense gratification, plus you go back to Godhead at the end. So it's clear, she's got that, she's enjoying those fruits. She has Salokya Mukti at the same time that she's got Sarashti in terms of cow standards. All sense gratification and liberation at the same time, and when she dies, she goes straight back to Goloka. Why does he call it Goloka? Goloka. He doesn't call it Krishna. We call it Krishna Loka. He calls it Goloka. Because in his mind, these cows are the most prominent. He loves his devotees. Bhakta Vatsala Bhagavan Ki.
Yeah.
So, Goloka. Anyway, we may not be so fortunate. We may end up as a cat in Salem. Then you can hear Mariaman bhajans all the time. So anyway, this is what we call creature comforts, and we're talking now about what else? This is the point he brings up next. Vritti. Vritti means your livelihood. And Srila Prabhupada kind of illustrates that for us. He's giving a gloss as meaning... where is it? Vritti Shtukulya. Big sources of income. That's like an industry. Just like here, next to our temple, there are two or three Chotisi factories are there. Small factories. So somebody may be proud. He's got this thing going. He wants to make sure that his kids do it. Or if you are in the Ambani family in Mumbai, you want to make sure that the kids follow and that this thing doesn't fall to pieces. That attachment is also there. Or you may just have your ordinary vritti, because that's actually dharma, to do your own vritti, swadharma, not paradharma. Twice, Krishna says, you should do this. My Pakalaj guru in Vrindavan, he's coming from the Darbhanga Drupad Gharana. So for 13 generations, they're only doing music. Since the 17th century, that famous story, if you sing Rag Malhar, you can make it rain. His ancestors did that in the court of the Raja of Darbhanga. So this is also vritti. And the next thing is kulya. What does kulya mean? There he translates this, all the acharyas say, means kula paramparagata. Kula parampara, your family traditions. Even in chapter 1 of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is concerned about this because Arjuna is a civilized human being. Nowhere, as far as I can see, in Bhagavad Gita, does Krishna argue with that. He doesn't disprove it. He doesn't counter it. He doesn't disagree with it. He just shifts the discussion to a much higher level. But actually these things are important because they elevate us. Why? Because if you have to maintain your family profession, if you have to maintain your family traditions, then that there is an element of one of the three things that Krishna says should never be given up. This is another thing that he says twice in Bhagavad Gita. What three things you should never give up? Huh? Danam, yajna, dana tapascheva pavanani manishana. They purify even great souls. That is the worth of these things. I don't know about you people, but as far as I'm concerned, Srila Prabhupada said, trying to clean your hearts is like trying to wash a piece of coal. No matter how hard you scrub, it's still black. So we need all the We need all the purification we can get. We need all the sacrifice, all the charity, all the austerity that we can do. Chanakya Pandit, he's like the Tiruvalluvar of the North. He says, one should never be satisfied in one's own study, one's own sacrifice, one's own charity. One should always be satisfied with one's own bhojan, one's own wife, and one's own... I forget the other one. Anyway, you get the idea. Okay, so this is... Finally then, he comes to the main point. Koshaskrit means koshakari kita, a kind of insect. Sa yatha atmano hitam griham kurvano. For his own benefit, he's building up this household, just like we all do. Especially when we're young householders, we're very fired up and we're gonna put something together very nice. You see? He said, but nirgamaya dvadamapi nasheshayati. He doesn't put a door. So you can build your nice household, your family, your business, everything, but there's no escape hatch. There's no way to get out. This is the problem. This is why he uses this example. So, avitripta kamopi dosha darshaneya virakta san tyajeta. He says, maybe if we discuss this long enough and we see the flaw of this process, then even if we don't have our desires fulfilled, then maybe we can develop a sense of detachment. This is Sridhar Swami's proposal. But he argues against that by saying, tatraha, in this connection, he says, Shukadeva Goswami tells us, opasthyam. This is the problem, the genital is there. And that means shaishnyam, that is masculine gender. And jaihvam cha sukham, the happiness of the tongue, that is everybody. So this is the problem, bohumanyamanatvat. Because we consider these things to be so essential and so central, therefore we're bound up for good. We cannot come out. This is the idea. Tad evadhikam manyamana. We consider these things even more important than anything else. Ato duranto moha. Therefore the illusion is practically endless. Asima. Same idea. Yasasa. Katam virajeta viraktasyat. How could such a person become detached? This is the conclusion. Now I've already given you the answer. You know very well by now. But the verses like this are spoken just to remind us. Because the clock is ticking. We're all being pushed down the tubes of time. One-way traffic. No choice. No choice. And what happens when you get to the end? Out. Like the elevator door we discussed the other day. No ifs, ands, or buts. Yesterday we heard. He just assumed. Yes, I accept Prabhupada, but... In English we say this. No ifs, no ands, no buts. It means you cannot introduce any condition here. You're going to die. Ahira akela jana. In the end, you're going to have to go on alone. What are you going to do about that now? What is your plan? So many plans we have for the industry, for the business, family practice, for the household, for the children. Adi, adi, adi. What about death? One yogi in the north, he said, if you think about death 5 times a day, you'll be spiritually healthy. It's a fact. Set your alarm clock for 5 different times in the day and just see what's happening with your consciousness when that alarm goes off. Just take this experiment. We're not ready for death. We're not ready. We have to be reminded constantly of this fact. And here we are in our nice warm cocoon. Sometimes two silkworms, they get in the same cocoon. It should be each silkworm has its own cocoon, but sometimes two of them get stuck in there together. What do? They mate. This is our condition. Without even considering that death is approaching, deha patya kalitradishu atma sanyeshu asatsvati, we take shelter in these things as if they could help us or would help us. These are my soldiers. We already described my wife, she's like my commander in chief. I'm getting the best support, you see? Atma sanyeshu asatsvati. Although it's temporary, tesham pramatta nithanam. Because we're pramatta, we've become mad. Duranta mohat. We've become mad for sense gratification. We don't see the end coming, although we admit that it's coming. We know. We see, but we don't see. This is the point. Okay. So, just to end on a positive note, the solution is very clear. He's asking this question, but he's not answering it, at least not yet. Somebody who is attached can hardly get out of this unless he has Krishna. And that is the point that Srila Prabhupada brings to our attention in the conclusion of his purport. Srila Prabhupada ki? Where would we be without Srila Prabhupada? Where would we be? He says, for such a man to get out is extremely difficult unless he is helped by a strong person. Our spiritual master is a strong person. And he helps us by extending the strong rope. That rope will not break. So, if we take hold of that rope, this is all we have to do. It's free, but you have to hold on at least. You have to hold on. How do you hold on? You chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Trying to avoid the 10 offenses. In order to help you do that, you strictly follow the 4 regular principles. You stay in good association of devotees. Good association. Svato Vare, those who are more advanced than you, stay in their association. Otherwise, you can get wrapped up in your little cocoon and nobody will ever hear you cry. Nobody will ever hear you. We mentioned already the example given here, Antakupam, dark well. Same thing. So we dive deep into the ocean of the spiritual master's instructions. Again, I always say this, Guru Mukha Padma Bhakti Chite Te Koriya Aitya. Put nothing in your heart except for that. And then you'll find all the allurements of Maya and all the tests that come from the material energy, all the miseries, they cannot overwhelm you. You see everything in perspective. Bohumanyamana, the things that you used to consider to be indispensable, those things are tuchavat. This is very word is used in the purport. Yanmaitunadi. You see? That comes when we are absorbed in Krishna. Krishna. So, it is a great ocean of nectar in bhakti. We just have to make sure that we always dive deep, and for that purpose we take advantage of the association of those who are doing so. I'm going to stop here. Does anybody have any questions or any comments? Srila Prabhupada's books are the best place to begin. It's all coming out of these books. Yes, you had a question.
The other day you were asking us how many of you are reading the Prabhupada books every day. Sometimes in the name of service, or sometimes in the name of other priorities, our own comfort and laziness. So due to that, we are unable to stick to that very important instruction. And inspiration.
You will fall. Learning how to walk means you're going to fall, zurur. It's assumed. You will fall many times, but you have to keep getting up and keep going. You may fall behind one day, then you just pick it up, make sure that this priority means it's on your mind. How's it on your mind? You set your alarm 5 times a day and remind yourself, I'm dying. Am I ready? How much time do I have left? I don't know. What am I going to do about it? Open the books. Every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavad Seva is not complete without this process. Punya Shravana Kirtana. Is that okay? You had a question. You raising your hand?
Yeah. Yes, especially during Brahmacharya Ashram, we hear about all these things. But even after hearing, sometimes our mind gets dragged and we think, now we will disclose it maybe after 2 years, like some Brahmacharis want to say, want to marry. But they will disclose it after 2 years or 3 years or 4 years. It will happen over a period of time.
Well, that's not necessarily a bad idea. Why? Because an important decision should not be made rashly. And, you know, maybe you're just finishing up your Rahu period. And then a week after your wedding, you go into something positive, and then, I made a mistake. It happens sometimes. On the other hand, to balance this a little bit, the fact of the matter is that most people get married. Most people do get married. This is the material world. Baby Dom. She always wins. She's Mantri, remember? So, it may not be a bad idea, but this is why we have spiritual masters. This is why we have spiritual masters. He will tell you. We don't know ourselves. We can't see. Strong person, Prabhupada said. The strong person has to give us the direction. That is very clear. On the other hand, Chanakya Pandit also says, something is auspicious, that should be done immediately without waiting. Therefore, the implication is that it's not necessarily auspicious. Because it's a cocoon. This is today's verse, you see. It can be. If you're so deeply absorbed in transcendental duality, then the household ashram is actually the best way to serve Krishna. I mentioned this the other day. But you have to really be absorbed in transcendental duality, and that's not so easy. That takes some practice. It takes a long time of practice. Is that a helpful answer? There are many different ways to answer this.
But if you are in transcendental duality, then why you accept the other
side? Yeah, exactly. This is Tamal Krishna Goswami's answer. Somebody asked him about this. He said, why would a completely liberated soul who knows that he's not the body, why would he want to marry somebody else's material body? What is the need? You see? Generally, we get married if we're conditioned souls. The question is how conditioned. That's the crux of the matter. Or as they say in English, the devil is in the details. Therefore, I said, you consult a few good Jyotishis. Why a few? Because one of them will say yes, one will say no. You need to break the tie. And they have to be good ones. Generally, in India, astrologers don't give you the bad news. So, I always advise people like this. See three astrologers minimum, and they better be good ones. I like that. We have Jyotish, we have Guru, we have the association, we can take advantage like this. Okay? Yes.
We hear that at this point, every jiva has got a unique relationship with the Lord. The way in which a particular jiva pleases the Lord, that in another jiva cannot. So how to understand this? And the point is that, is there any specific shloka or anything, Acharya has said about that? It's very interesting.
Well, we each have our own siddha deha. Siddha deva means our spiritual body. That spiritual body consists of our eternal bhava, our eternal, what we call sai bhava. It's called sai bhava because it's eternal. And in the spiritual world, you are your bhava. There's no difference between you and your bhava. So it can only be so. There's no other option. You have to be that bhava, and nobody else is that same bhava because of the visheshta. This principle of vishesh is a term that Baladeva Dabhushan borrows from Madhvacharya. Different acharyas call it different things, but they all accept it to one degree or another. We're all unique. And although we may share the same sthayi bhava, everybody has a little bit special flavor that only he can give. And sometimes the rasas also mix. They mix incompatibly in the material world when it's perverted by Maya, but they mix compatibly in the spiritual world. So that, it's like Prabhupada gave the analogy of the three primary colors. What are they?
Red,
yellow, blue. Red plus yellow means saffron. And blue plus yellow means?
Green.
Yes. And red plus blue? Purple. So 3 times 3 is 9. 9 times 9 is 81. 81 times 81 is 6,500 something. 6,500 something times itself is, you get the picture. This is the logic. Is it clear? I don't know that there may be an explicit reference, but I think the references are already fairly explicit. He says, I quoted that verse from Brahma Samhita. Tanam apurete, you get a sanchinchitasya sadrishim. Sanchinchitasya sadrishim tanam apurete. You're awarded a body that exactly corresponds to your bhava. So if you uncover all the dross of Maya, and there's left with nothing except for the bhava, that's you. And it's unique. Otherwise, why do you exist? Every one of us can only serve Krishna in the way that we serve Krishna. That's why we're here. That's why he's chasing us down. Isn't it? You know the verse. Jekvastudutsyujasurepsitarajilakshmin dharmishta aryavachasayargararanyam mayamrigam deyeteyepsitam anuvadhava. Vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. Anuvadhava means he's chasing. Jiva Goswami has given this interpretation of that verse as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are the Mayamrigas? That's us. We've got this Mayamriga, the material body, animal body, made out of Maya. And we're infatuated with that Maya. But Mahaprabhu is infatuated with us, fortunately. And therefore he's chasing after us, although we're lost to Maya. He's come down here. And he's chasing after us in this form, most merciful form. Unbelievable mercy, infinite mercy. Okay, anything else? Yes. What's your name? I don't remember.
Srinivas Krishna.
Srinivas Krishna. The face I recognize.
This revealing one's mind in confidence to our authorities. So sometimes devotees don't get to do that, thinking that. Maybe the devotees simply after me because of some service I'm doing, but not they don't care about me. So sometimes it takes years for people to reveal just
to find somebody that you trust. That's what you're saying.
Each other should.
Yeah. Well, this is a valid observation, I think. You do have to be very careful. If we read Prabhupada's books, we will find in the third canto that even Lord Kapiladeva cautions us about what kind of association of devotees to accept. They're not all devotees are the same. You may have experienced. Gokulachandra Prabhu told me the other day, 2 years somebody was in his association and then that person took off with the money. So you have to be careful, even in associating with devotees, you have to be discriminating. So that you have to do. You know what your priorities are, you know what your conditional nature is, or you should. Spiritual master, you can always reveal your mind, but don't accept a spiritual master unless you can really reveal your mind to him. What is the point? You see? One has to be careful. Discrimination is the key word of Madhyama Adhikar. In modern usage, because it's a perverted so-called civilization based on sense gratification, in which they try to claim that everyone is equal. To them, discrimination is a bad word. But for a Madhyama Adhikari, discrimination is the essence of it. You have to know who's envious, who's innocent, who's Krishna, who are the real devotees. You have to be able to see this. And that takes some care and attention and training and time. Experience. But it's true. You can't just reveal your mind openly to anybody and everything because they'll turn around and screw you with it. They'll nail you to the wall and rip you down. It's true. Especially if you're in Saturn period. Is that okay? Satisfactory answer? Anything else? Yes.
Your Grace was telling about the conditioning.
Conditioning.
So, because of that, we, being in devotional service, trying to do some seva. So we pray to Krishna. Today morning I got up, tell me, pray to Maya that please leave me so that I can serve.
Why not? I need all the help I can get. I visit Tiruchendur every year, and every year I have a very, I mean, I don't know, somehow or other. We may not be interested in devatas, but if the devata is interested in you, then what are you supposed to do about that? Somehow or other, I always get, and people come there and they pay hundreds of rupees and wait for hours just to get a momentary glimpse. But because I have the relationship with some of the pujaris there, this time I was there, he had me sitting in front of the deity for maybe an hour. What do you do in front of Skanda for an hour? You have to pray for something. His mother is in charge. She's going to listen to what he says because of the attachment that we're reading about today. So, this is the idea. When all else fails, there's a very nice prayer from Prahlad Maharaj that we can always chant to anyone. Swasti astu vishvasya kala prasidatam jhayantu bhutani shivam nithotiya manashabhadram bhajatara dhokshije aveshitam no matirapyahitiki. I mentioned this the other day. It's a very, very important verse from Prahlad Maharaj. We should always pray like this. May the whole universe be auspicious, but may the envious demons be pacified, restrained. How? May everybody think of each other's welfare. How are they going to do that? By practicing devotional service unto Adhokshaja. And may that devotional service be ahaitaki, without any hetu, no motive. May we enter deeper and deeper into this, as I said, bhakti rasamrita sindhu. This is Prahlad's prayer. That you can pray to anybody, including demigods. Why not? I need all the help I can get. It's okay? Anything else? A lot of questions today, but only the brahmacharis are asking questions. If not, then we can stop. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.